Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. You know, this is the start of a new year, 2020, and I want to say one thing. Every New Year's, Big Al makes a ton of New Year's resolutions. Every New Year's, Big Al's family makes a ton of New Year's resolutions. And lo and behold, you get a little ways into the year, and those New Year's resolutions are totally forgotten. Got Dr. John Huber on the line with me right now. John, why do people make New Year's resolutions with all of the best intentions possible and then forget about them a week later?
Well, first of all, we get reinforced big time from making these big accolades. We're going to drop 50 pounds. I'm going to start a new business. I'm going to retire on my marketing, you know, not marketing, my stock market portfolio. And I'm going to be a day trader, whatever it is. We make these huge announcements, and we get a lot of accolades from our friends and family who are all making the same sort of extreme statements. And the reason why we do that is we get reinforced for it. We get this period of time at the beginning of the year where we're kind of feeling like the center of attention, and it's a new year, and everybody's excited, so it makes us feel good about it. But unfortunately, most of those accolades are just too monumental for us to make, and that's part of the reason why we make them too. We make these huge grand things. I'm gonna make $10 million this year in the stock market. Yeah. Well, nobody really expects you to. So if you fail, you're not really a failure. So it's not a big deal. So there's no real pressure to do that, and we like the attention. So why not? Let's go ahead and do it. Nobody else has done it. In fact, 80% of people's never make any of their New Year's resolutions.
That's a big number. You know, John, I was at one time, I was a pretty heavy smoker. I smoked about 3 packs of cigarettes a day up until the age of 40. And at 40, I just quit. And I remember I tried numerous times to quit smoking. Boy, that was a very, very common New Year's resolution for me. And I got to tell you, one thing I learned in one of the programs that I used is that if you're going to do something like quitting smoking, tell all of your close friends, and then they will basically reinforce that, and 9 times out of 10 laugh at you if you go back to smoking. What do you think about something like that?
Well, using peer pressure is always a good idea, but I think with something like a New Year's resolution, we know if you have a team effort, you're going to be much more successful. Not just everybody cheering you on, but other people trying to quit smoking at the same time, or other people trying to work out regularly with you, or other people trying to lose weight, or whatever your goal is, start your own business. You know, you get other people doing it. You all of a sudden now have a teammate who's there with you. And you know, when you have those down days, that's what your teammates are for, to pick you up and keep you moving forward.
Yeah.
And when they're having one, you're right there. And it's amazing how that significantly increases your success rate. And you know, having a partner like your spouse do it with you helps a lot, but it's so much more powerful when you have that team behind you.
John, let me ask you a question. I mean, all of us try to change bad habits. All of us are very, very aware of negative habits and how they have a really negative implication towards your life into the future. Why is it so hard for people to know that something that they're doing is wrong, but they're unable to change it? Why does that happen, big guy?
Well, for a lot of reasons. Everybody tends to have this thing, well, but I'm not reckless with it, or I can manage it. And, oh, yeah, that's against the law. That's for people who don't know what they're doing. Or, yeah, I can smoke, but, you know, nobody in my family has cancer, so it hadn't done anything to me yet.
Right.
We make up these false analogies or false ideal sets to support our habits, because unfortunately and fortunately for us all in the same time, being habituated to behavior is something that's very hard to stop. So when you decide to do these things, all you have to do is replace the old habit with a new habit that is healthier, better for you, on your way to the goal, but contra indicates you doing things that keep you from making your goal. And we can habituate that, and then we beat the game. We can make it.
Doc, give me an example of what you're talking about.
Well, for example, let's say you want to lose 50 pounds. That's great, but it's such a huge number. You tell all your friends your goal is to lose 50 pounds, and you go to work and you get a membership at the gym, and you start the first week in January, and you're there every day, but then you pull a muscle, you're really sore, so you only make it 2 days the next week, and then you jump back in the next week with 4 days again, and you're sore, and oh, all of a sudden there's a business meeting, then you have to go out of town, and you don't make it. And everybody goes, oh, 50 pounds, man, you only weigh 200 pounds. That's half your, or that's a quarter of your body weight. Nobody's right. going to do that in a year. And everybody makes excuses for you, and you just go on about your business. But if you do something very simple, let's say you cut out all soft drinks, no more sodas. You can drink iced tea unsweetened, sparkling waters all the way, regular water, but no more soft drinks, no more cans of Coke or Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, anything else like that. That alone, the average American will lose 2 to 4 pounds every month if you just stop doing that.
Really?
Now think about two to four pounds over 12 months. Now you've lost 24 to 48 pounds.
Yep.
It takes you 6 to 8 weeks to habituate a new behavior. So that new behavior is I'm going to drink soda. I'm going to drink sparkling water instead of soda water or iced tea instead of soda water. You know, within 2 to 3 months, you've habituated yourself to walking in that restaurant and ordering an iced tea instead of a Coca-Cola, or coming home and grabbing a glass of water instead of grabbing a Coke out of the refrigerator.
John,
so
let me ask you this.
Your habit.
Yeah. In terms of changing habits, okay, and let's relate this to the show, to KER Politics. Let's say that people are sick and tired of getting so caught up in the business of politics on a daily basis. People realize that they're really not going to make a hell of a big difference in terms of, you know, one opinion out of what, 330 million or whatever the heck the population
right.
is. How would somebody like that accomplish what I'm driving at here? For example, I'll use myself as a fictitious, and I swear to God, this is a fictitious example, okay? I don't really get that caught up in politics. I mean, we talk about it at least 5 days a week on the air, and I have to say that my personal feeling about it is I made up my mind a long time ago that I was not going to let something extraneous to my life that I probably really couldn't change cause me to lose sleep at night. Never worked. I still lose sleep at night occasionally as to what's going on. John, we're down to about 2 minutes left in this particular segment. Give me an introduction to how you would address this problem going into the next segment.
Well, what I would do is I would sit back and look at how I pay attention to the news. If I'm using social media, I've got my smartphone, maybe my smartwatch on, and you're getting these blasts every 15 to 20 minutes about what's going on in politics because it is a hot topic. I would turn off all of those data streams, turn off all those things, and only allow myself your hour every day on your show to watch. That way, they can come in, they get a reasonable sound bite, they can listen to your conversation, your explanation, pros and cons, and then it's over, and they can go on about their business and wait till tomorrow night. They don't have to sit there and get hit by it every 15 to 20 minutes, and that actually is detrimental. It jumps our body into the fight or flight mechanism, increases our cortical steroids, increases blood pressure, heart rate, makes us a greater risk for strokes. So my recommendation is you limit your access to that type of information, and your show is the perfect one to use because it's rational, and you know you don't throw in that emotionality.
Good
so
advice,
I would
John.
Prefer...
John, got to stop you. Good advice.
Yep.
Got to take a real quick commercial break here for about 30 seconds. I'm going to be right back with words of wisdom from Dr. John Huber.